our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
If you're a podcast listener, but you prefer listening to over-the-air radio because, well, there's some chance that the signal might reach you by bouncing off the moon, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like this show.
Oh, and if you listen by using iTunes, we invite you to leave a review about Big Picture Science on our iTunes page. And to reach us directly with your comments, well, just throw in some faint praise and email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
One more. Just one more, okay?
Okay, you can do one more wheelie in the buggy, but that's all.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
This is WHFR Dearborn. You are listening to The Magic of Radio.
This is The Magic of Radio. This is Lynn, your host of Impact, heard the second Tuesday of the month from 1 until 2. This is a live show. Want to let you know that the views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. And this is WHFR Dearborn. I'm Lynn, your host, and today we're discussing the Helping Hands Food Pantry out of Cherry Hill Presbyterian Church on the corner of Cherry Hill and Telegraph in Dearborn. And our guest today, Saborio, thank you, and Carolyn Vandenbush. Harder to spell, but way easier to say. Yeah, okay. Thank you both so much for being here. Helping Hands, as my own little intro, Helping Hands is going to be part of the Holistic Fair this year for the first time, and I'm really, really excited about that. This is a food pantry. You'll be hearing a lot of the history, a lot of the details, a lot of the efforts, and you can't do anything like this without a whole lot of sweat equity, I think is the right term. So we'll be talking about that. But the pantry goes back to the 1960s, and to bring it way up to 2016 as part of our Holistic Fair. The 8th Annual Holistic Fair is March 19th, so that's coming up very quickly. And we will be collecting food for Helping Hands as a way of saying thank you to you, our guest, to the Holistic Fair. If you come in with some food for Helping Hands Food Pantry, we will be happy to deduct $1 off of your admission. So let's pot up the mics, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of Helping Hands. So, Ray, you wanted to give us a little bit of history about that?
Yes, if I may. The food pantry originally started off as probably what you'd call just a food closet. And at the time, back in the 60s and the 70s, our church had a senior pastor, or a senior minister, and two assistants. And I think at that time they mostly did most of the operation of the food closet. Someone came in that needed some food, they'd get a bag together, go to the closet, and put what was available in it, and send them off with it. But at that time, I don't think too many of the church members were involved in it. It was something, because there were two assistants, they could do it.
And they kept it kind of private.
It kind of private to
That's
do that,
right.
too.
That's right, and they kind of had their own rules set up about who would qualify. And that went on for some time. In fact, actually, at one point, we had, back in the 70s, if you'll remember, in 75, there were a lot of boat people that left Vietnam, and many churches in this country sponsored people from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And our church sponsored a family, and they came, and of course, they needed help. So one of our members, I believe, actually donated a house that they weren't living in for the family to use for a while. And then the father in the family worked in our church as a janitor, and I have kind of a sideline there. I had rentals at the time, and I had him paint a house for me. it turned out he took the whole family over and they painted the whole house together. It was like,
wow.
And of course I paid him for that. They did a nice job. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting. That man came back maybe 20 years later to thank the congregation. And all three of his children are professional people. One's a doctor, one's a dentist, and the other is a CPA.
Wow.
It's pretty nice to see that happen.
Yes, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, they live in New Jersey now.
Okay.
Getting back to the food pantry.
Yes.
Okay. In 1980, our church for years has had a rummage sale. And it's a pretty big rummage sale, and a lot of folks come to it, and we, you know, raise quite a bit of money on the rummage sale. And in 1980, the rummage sale, I believe, voted funds to be used to organize the food pantry. I even have the amount here. It was a little over $1,000 to first start it up. And so at that point, church members became more and more involved in actually operating the food pantry. Carolyn knows the names best, but they kind of organized the plan. We set up applications for clients and rules about how much food they could get and how many times they could come back, because there's no formalized government support or anything like that. The funds come from the congregation bringing food. And from gifts, cash gifts from the congregation, and then also partners. We have a number of partners now. But it turned out that in our lobby, we have we used to use it for education. Carolyn, what was the
room? Christian education room.
It was a Christian education room, and it turned out it was very good size to set up a food pantry in. And I believe the shelves were already in there, weren't there?
That's what I understand.
Yeah, there were just loads of shelves all along one wall and cabinets underneath. So we set up the food pantry in there. And since then, we've continued to try and keep organizing it, make it more efficient, and set up rules about, how we handle clients and so on. Because you have to have a record of who's coming in, and you know who you got. You don't have four family members come in one after another. You have to do something like that to keep it, just to make sure you're helping the most people
right.
in the fairest way. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's been a real evolution, and more recently, I have one of the sheets here. More recently, in our church, we have about 16 people involved, and not all are members of our church. There's some that are members of other churches but come and help on the food pantry. And then our partners in the churches are St. Paul Lutheran Church, and then St. Paul United Church of Christ and Disciples of Christ. There's two congregations that meet in that church, and then First Presbyterian Church. Those are the three church partners that we have, and they regularly make donations of food and also cash donations. Mm-hmm. We also have three schools, and I don't mean to leave anybody out, because we get donations from partners that are not regular partners, you know what I'm saying? But we have three schools in Dearborn that have been donating regularly to us every year, and they're Bryant Junior High, which is right north of the church itself, and then we have Haig Elementary, which is a little bit west on Silvery Lane, just north of Cherry Hill, and then Gear Park Elementary, which is at Greenfield in Michigan. So that's kind of a little synopsis of how things have evolved. Oh, also the amount of food and the number of clients has gradually increased over a period of time.
Sure.
And I think I counted recently in our current log of clients, there's about 600, households.
Wow.
Something like that.
We had, obviously everybody remembers the bad times of 08, 09 in this area. It was very horrendous, I guess is the right word, because we were always looking at more auto jobs and security in the automobile industry, et cetera, and then the bottom fell out. From that time, when I'm presuming here that the numbers of requests went up during that period of time, has it gone down? Now that times are better, has it gone down?
Well, no. You know, Carolyn would probably be able to answer that better, but I could talk about this holiday season. Most of the Wednesdays, and we operate. I didn't tell that we operate Wednesday from 10 until 3, from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m.
Okay.
And I would say almost every Wednesday from the beginning of October through the end of December, we probably averaged around 20. Wouldn't you say? And we had one day we had 29, I know.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's a lot of people for us to handle in 3 hours, because we do a little interview, and then we evaluate how many people there are in the family, and then we provide food to them that's comparable to their family size, to the number of people that are in the household.
Okay. Tell us about the interview process.
Okay. Actually, I have the interview sheet here. What, Carolyn, would you like to explain that a little bit, the interview process? Because you have done, I'm going to give you the sheet and put it right in front of you.
Okay.
Forgive me the noise.
Okay, these are for first-time people only.
Okay.
And we ask them for their name and their address and phone number, how many people in the family. We don't ask for names of children, but we do ask for ages. This is for two reasons. The employment information. If a person is employed or someone in the family is employed, they are not turned away. We don't ever turn a person away because someone is working in the family.
Do you ask about the income?
We don't ask for money amounts, but we do ask about income, and we write it down. This gives us an opening in the future, because we like discourse between us and the people that we help. We don't just hand them a bag of food, and that's part of our outreach program, okay? You'll have to... I just had a blank moment, okay?
I was going to add what Carolyn was saying. A number of our clients seem to get pretty close to us after a while. You know, they come, we have clients come up to 12 times. That's our rule, up to 12 times.
Okay.
And a lot of times when it's getting close to the end, they express the appreciation of having this assistance while they were, you know, coming to us. And we get hugs sometimes and so on, and a few tears.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
It's usually the weekly volunteers and the food gift certificates out that are anonymously given by some member of our church.
Okay.
And they're very generous gift cards. And one day, one of our drivers or grocery shoppers, he was there. So I asked him to take out the gift card and give it to the young lady. And she was so overwhelmed, she started crying. He's a big bear of a man. And she started crying and gave him a big hug. I don't think he knew what to do, but it was so touching. And those are the kinds of things that we're not there just for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Not the money, but the food.
Right,
But to make a difference, a little bit of a difference in people's lives while they're there.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're treating them like people.
Yeah.
Oh, that is definitely a major factor.
Yeah. I hear talk from time to time about those people, and we recently ran the 18th Annual Homelessness Marathon, which is a 14-hour broadcast talking about homeless people and how people got there. And let me tell you, I know that I have a home and I am comfortable and whatever else. I know I'm a whole lot closer to the street than I am to Birmingham or, you know, something like that. I know that. And all it takes is a large medical bill. All it takes is something in your life to go sideways, and there you are. And you need help some way, somehow. And I get so angry when I hear about those people and what's wrong with them and why don't they work and they're all drug addicts and blah, 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 blah. And you and I know that that is not the case.
That's right.
The people that come into our church requesting assistance, they're very nice people. No one is rude at any time. There's no unpleasant language used or anything like that. Wouldn't you agree with that, Carol?
Oh, definitely. We get people of all ages.
Yeah.
From grandparents who are taking care of their grown children, who have children, and it's their responsibility through living on Social Security and what other kind of aid that they might be able to get to feed them.
Right.
We've also had people come from the I would say probably newer immigrants in the Arabic community, and what we do there is there's certain foods most of them are not going to eat, so we try and adjust our packages so that they don't get foods that they wouldn't be acceptable
right,
to them.
Right.
They don't seem to want obviously anything with beef or pork products.
Mm-hmm.
And we get those out of their packages.
Mm-hmm. We do get from the city of Dearborn foods that aren't picked up on that once a month Monday that they give to people
okay.
who are registered for free food.
Okay.
And quite often we will get like maybe 100 cans of beef stew. Well, those are not part of our regular packaging. We do prepackage so many items, and that's to guarantee that people are offered good meals,
mm-hmm.
well-balanced meals, not just Chef Boyardee. And
okay, so tell me a little bit about the Dearborn program.
When you say the Dearborn,
the one
the
Carolyn
city,
was just talking
the city
about,
program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The city.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
The city has certain foods that they put out, and I believe retirees can go down and get. I think they can get bread. There's several things they can get.
People can.
Yeah. Is it all people?
They have a very stringent requirement. Before they're eligible for.
Okay.
And a lot of them are from the Middle East.
Okay.
Okay. So people who won't eat pork or beef, they don't accept those items. So we get them. And they don't go in our regular packaging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's a way of us maybe giving some of the other people who do eat the beef making their packages a little special. We don't buy beef products.
Okay.
So that there's no beef product put in a bag that's going to be given to a person.
Okay.
But sometimes some people don't want fish. And so we'll take that out. Yes, he says. I'm sorry, Ray.
It's okay. And we can't do this for every client because sometimes we've had as many as 10 waiting, so we try and
wow,
move along.
Okay,
you know?
Sure.
Yes.
And that's usually during the holiday season,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, in the week before Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we do in the holidays and that we don't do the rest of the year, we've tried to provide either a turkey breast or this would be frozen turkey breast or frozen chicken. And for like, we've sometimes had people, just one person come in, he or she's only getting for themselves. In that case, we might give them capon, something that's smaller, more of a single individual's portion of. But that's because the holidays were coming up, and we know that that's an extra expense for them, you know.
Right. And okay, so you have some frozen items. Do you have refrigerated
and
items?
That's only at Christmas.
Only at Christmas.
Okay. Only at Thanksgiving and Christmas during the holiday season. And we only provide each client one time.
Okay, I see.
Because we're not in a position to do it repeatedly for clients.
Sure, sure.
But we did make the effort to do that, and that's shared between one of our churches, St. Paul, I believe, Lutheran, is the one that helps us with that, and then our church also. We make purchases of those turkey breasts and so on.
Not only the meats, but we make up the regular holiday packages, the kind of foods, the sweet potatoes, the pumpkin, the cranberries. We make up special packages to go with the turkey. And they get those with their normal food allotment.
Okay.
So it is a special time for them.
Okay. What about things like, you know, the classic shopping list generally starts out milk and eggs, milk, eggs, well, and butter.
We wouldn't provide either milk or eggs because of the shelf life and the refrigeration issue.
Right.
Most
okay.
of the foods we provide are either canned or foods or dried foods that that have a pretty good shelf life. Because we have to stock our room, and then we try our best to rotate the food, but every once in a while something gets back in a corner, and we have to put it out. What we do, if we get stuff that's, you know, maybe slightly past sale date, you know, that you have an ad, you have a date on every can when it's supposed to be sold by. Actually, the food's perfectly good; it probably could sit on the shelf another year. But what we often do with that, if it's getting a little past sale date, we might put it out. And say, this is extra food, you can take this. And there's some other items that we don't normally put in our regular bags. We'll also put that out and give the people another bag if they want to take it. It's up to them, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
And we do try and use all the food and keep it moving.
Of course, yeah. Okay, so, well, if you're giving me this dry basket, that's definitely going to free up some funds so that I can go out and buy my milk and eggs.
Yeah.
So what about, you mentioned...
And what we do is where it's appropriate and when we have them available, which is a good part of the year, we do have donated food certificates for the, I guess they're Kroger, aren't they? Kroger or one of the other stores.
Okay.
And when it's appropriate, we give a certificate like that to the patient. We have several different denominations. And, you know, if there's three or four kids or so, they're the ones that are liable to get one of those, you know. Yeah. And that's part of the reason for the interview. You're in the interview, you get a feel for the need, you know. And if there seems to be a greater need, then we would maybe give the larger food certificate, you know, and that's part of the reason is to try and get a little relationship with the clients, you know.
Okay, you mentioned that you could go to the pantry 12 times.
12 times.
And that is either in quick sequence or over a number of years, or
it can be 12 times. It could be over any period of time, but it could be right now. We're having our clients come no more often than once per month right now.
Okay.
So if they wanted to come 12 months in a row, we'd provide them food 12 months in a row. But at the and we actually have a little procedure for this. At the 11th time, we advise them that the next visit will be the final visit, and then when they come the last time, you know. Very often we get the hugs then because they've appreciated the service.
Sure.
Well, one other thing we haven't mentioned at all is that there are another number of other organizations around, very often mostly churches, that also have food pantries or food programs, and Carolyn is the one that put these all together three or four years ago. Is that right? And we have a list. Here, And what we do is when a client first comes in, we give them a copy of this list. We're on it, but all the other food pantries in the immediate area are also on it. And then when they visit us the last time, we give them another copy of this list.
Okay.
So that so that they have maybe some other alternatives if they're still in need. So we're trying to help them, you know, and we always advise them, call first. Because gas is an issue, too, for many of these people.
If you are, if I could use the phrase, down on your luck, and things have just, you just suddenly lost your job, and something just went sideways in your life. So how many other organizations are on that list that you could refer me for food? And then what about my other needs? Because we need to exist. We need things like toilet paper. We need things like shampoos and personal care products and that sort of thing. We might need some clothing. How would you direct me if I was in that situation?
Well, we would. We often, I've mentioned the Salvation Army because they have programs. In fact, some occasionally they send people to us, you know, because they know we have a pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's soup kitchens on here. There's Lighthouse Home Mission Soup Kitchen in Westland. Okay, and there's actually 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15, and these are all on the west side. I would say they're Dearborn, Redford, Westland, you know, they're all within 10 or so miles.
Okay.
You know, 10 or 15 miles at the most.
Mm-hmm.
So these would be ones that the people that come to us could conceivably, you know, get there. One thing that's interesting about our clients, they very often, maybe two clients will come in one car, which is all right. Because, you know, transportation's a problem and it's expensive for people that are,
sure,
you know, short of funds.
Another item that we give them on their last visit, we do this for the first visits and the last visit, is it, remember that 211 sheet?
Yes.
The 211 phone number? I didn't know if you were going to mention that or not.
Well, you, Carolyn, you tell a little bit about it because I don't have one here and I'm
that
familiar with it.
I meant to give him one.
Okay.
No, it's a 211 sheet. It's a 211 phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's United Way. It's put out by United Way. And it lists all different kinds of services that are available by calling that 211 number.
Okay.
And food pantries, if you give them your zip code, then they will give you the food pantries that are in your area if that's what you're looking for.
Okay.
So that's a really valuable tool,
mm-hmm,
for people to use. And
does that cover things like rent also, if I need help with rent or utilities?
There's all different kinds of services that are that are on that list.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I know that the Salvation Army helps with rent at times, depending on the client,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Okay.
And I don't know their rules, but,
yeah. Were you going, excuse me, were you going to mention the gas coupons?
Sure. I was going to mention that
next,
actually. Actually, the gas is not something we don't provide a lot of it, and the rule is we only do it once per customer,
okay,
or client. But the client has to have a driver's license with their picture on it, you know. And what we do is we give them a coupon, and they can go across the street. They have to use it the same day, and then go across the street and get gas at the gas station across the street.
Okay, all right.
Because in this business, you don't give out cash.
Right.
You know, you just don't do that. Because there, that could be an area that would be used in an inappropriate way.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's not a lot of gas, but it's enough to get somebody where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you find, since this whole operation goes back so many years, do you find that, you mentioned the Vietnamese family, but do you find that people in general come back after 10 years or 5 years or 20 years just to say thank you and I'm doing well now and thanks for helping me get through a bad time?
Carolyn, you might be able to answer that better than
I. We do periodically, not very often, receive cards of thanks. For the help that we gave to that person.
And I think on occasion we have helped people within the church, but that's kept very, it's kept very private as much as possible. So it's not general knowledge within the church.
Okay.
And it might be that the minister gets directly involved in that, possibly, or has in the past, at least.
And those, at least at times, some of those funds come out of Helping Hands funds.
Okay. Can anyone help you? You mentioned the partner churches, but could individuals help you?
One thing that we've been debating, and we really thinking seriously about doing, is starting to open at least one Saturday a month for about 2.5 hours. Because there's some people that might have a real hard time coming on Wednesday, and yet they could come on Saturday. Now, for something like that, I probably could help Saturdays, but many of our members would have a hard time helping Saturday.
Okay,
so,
I see.
You know, maybe we need a few more people if we opened on Saturdays.
Yes.
Okay.
One area that we have only used occasionally is sometimes, like in the holidays, a couple times we've had young people sort of brought over and asked if they could help. And of course, we find something for them to do for a few hours.
Sure.
And they seem to be really pleased to be able to help.
We like to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you looking for more volunteers? Are you looking for more cash gifts, more food gifts,
donations? We need more volunteers. Mm-hmm. I do the interviewing for a person who's interested in working at Helping Hands because we have certain requirements. And every once in a while, a person might not like what our policies are. They would like them to be not quite so stringent. Like if a person is signed up for food, that person has to come for the food. They can't send someone else to get it. And that is pretty much set in stone.
Okay.
I say pretty much.
Okay. Well, we're dealing with humans, so there's a little variable there, right? If someone was interested in becoming a Helping Hands volunteer, they would call you, Carolyn?
Call the church.
Call the church.
The church would give me the information, and then I would call.
And what number is that?
That person. 563-4800. That's 313. That's the church phone number.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll do that again before we close.
Okay.
Get that number out there. Is there a website that people could look at finding information about the program? If you're just curious or if you're interested in help.
I don't think we actually have a website. The church has a website.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the church website probably mentions the Helping Hand. But you couldn't go into too much detail about it.
Okay.
The easiest thing would be to call and be directed to Carolyn. And then Carolyn has all the background of of the program.
All right. Okay. What else? What about some of those other things I need in my life? I need the toilet paper, and I need the shampoo, and I need that kind of thing. How do I do that?
We actually haven't gotten into that. We haven't asked for donations of paper products and stuff like that. However, sometimes we get them.
Okay.
When we get them, we give them away. You know, they end up in our closet, and we'll give them away. But it's only when we have them. This fall we got a bunch of diapers, and they're all gone. I don't know where they came from, but it didn't take long to give them away.
I'll bet.
Well, we give them away by the package, and even for toilet tissue. We don't give one roll to a family.
Right.
They get the whole package.
Yeah. And since we have our food prepackaged, this is just a matter of opening the closet. If it's there and they need it, we give it to them, you know. But we frankly tell them we'll look if we have it, you know, and if we don't, we just say we're sorry, you mm-hmm. know.
Okay. We call it a freebie.
Yes.
Well, everything's free.
Well, it doesn't count against their allotted number of items.
That's right.
Right,
that's
right. Right, right. You mentioned that term a little bit before, number of items. Could you explain that?
Let me explain. Carolyn can correct me if I'm wrong.
But okay.
What we do is we, on our interview sheet, we're asked for how many people are in the household, okay? And what we do is we have a certain amount of food we give if there's one in the household or if there's two. And then we give, I think our minimum is it 20 or 25 items, Carol?
20 for a single, one person.
20 for one person. And then we give up to 40 items to a family of five or more, or you know, four
yes.
or five. And sometimes if there's a big family, we may add a few things depending on the circumstances,
sure.
you know.
Children
but
especially. I'm sorry.
If you have young children, we might give extra peanut butter, or we may give a big jar instead of a small jar mm-hmm. of peanut butter. And we might, say, give a couple cans of applesauce because, you know, kids probably eat applesauce without too much resistance.
That's where the Chef Boyardee comes in handy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people donate that, mm-hmm. but that's not part of what we buy.
I see.
And we get quite a bit of that.
Okay.
And that's a really good way for us to give kids what they want, or what they like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we have two. We have bags one and two. I could give you an idea. I have actually the contents of the bags. Let me see if I can find the right sheet here. It's a.
Our bagger.
Yeah, I do a lot
okay.
of bagging, but isn't it terrible? You need the sheet to do it properly. Here, I'll find it here any day now.
Okay.
I know it's here. Goodness. It's hiding from me. And I'm making a racket on the table here. I'm very sorry.
Okay, so these are like boxes?
No.
Or
bags.
Brown paper bags? Or
no, we use
that
a...
kind of thing?
Here we go.
Okay.
Bag one is... It has in it, but bag one and bag two each have 10 items in them.
Okay.
And bag one has two cans of tuna, noodles, cream soup, and, well, it says peas here. the other sheet says two cans of vegetables, okay. Then spaghetti sauce and pasta. The pasta is regular spaghetti noodles. And then mac and cheese, which is, you know, the box of mac and cheese. And then fruit, which is in a can,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that's bag one. Bag two has peanut butter, jelly, and crackers, a box of rice or a rice mix, you know, carton, cereal, hamburger helper, and the hamburger helper, there's a couple variations that can substitute there, corn muffin mix, instant potatoes or stuffing mix, dried beans for soup, or two cans of soup, and dessert. So it gives you an idea. It's kind of a round. It's kind of what you might buy if you went to the store and you were going to buy some stuff for the next week, you know. But it's the dried products. No milk, no eggs.
Okay. Well, I was thinking in terms, too, of donations. I was wondering if, you know, like a grocery store wanted to give you a case of eggs sort of thing on a Wednesday morning that you could disperse or something.
We're
like
not
that,
equipped for that. There are organizations that are equipped for that.
Oh, okay.
But we're not really equipped for it because we have some refrigerators, but they're not all convenient. You know, we have to walk around the church to get to them
okay.
and so on.
Sure.
And I don't see it happening with us because we wouldn't have a place even to put refrigeration convenient to where we fill the
right for even a temporary
containers.
Basis. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there are apparently from that other list, there are organizations that can help along those lines, or even if you have a food card, you can take care of that yourself.
Well, again, that was kind of the idea of having mm-hmm. a food card for people that they'd have something they could go and buy something with.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah. I think our cards are mostly Kroger cards now, aren't they?
We have $10. We used to have $5 cards
mm-hmm.
from a small grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the cost of food going up, not too long ago, we changed to $10 cards, gift cards, from Kroger's. Mm-hmm. One thing about that is that they can buy alcohol or cigarettes. Whereas from this other market that we used to use, you can buy those things. So we just leave it up to the honesty of the person who's accepting the card.
Yes.
And then for anonymous donations, a person has given us a larger amount of gift cards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those are for the people that we deem.
Yeah, those go when you hear there's four or five kids in the house, you know, and you know they're going to be able to use it with no problem at all.
Right. You know? What changes do you see in the program in the future? What's the direction that you'd like to go in?
Well, the one thing is possibly adding that Saturday, and we've been talking about that a lot recently.
Our minister is very much gung-ho for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come Saturday.
Will you?
Yeah.
All right.
If it's in the morning, if it's not too late, you know, if it starts at 10 and ends at 2:30, I'll come. How's that?
Well,
you
I'll
got my commitment. Where do I sign?
Right.
I'll let you be the leader on that then.
Okay.
It sounds like a great opportunity for schools and scouts, too.
Yes. That is one thing. Youth could help on a Saturday, mm-hmm. Whereas they can't. They're going to school during
the
week.
Right.
And I think, and a lot of the young people have a requirement to do something in the community in the way of, you know, service.
Right.
And I think it's a good experience for
mm-hmm.
them too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fun. You know, you're helping somebody out, and it's not like it's hard work. It really isn't that hard.
Right. Right. Go ahead.
They'd be good at bagging
mm-hmm.
and carrying the groceries out for people.
Mm-hmm.
Adults have to interview.
Right. With regards to some of the school help that you were talking about, Bryant, for one, schools that are helping you, I presume that's through collection efforts on their parts.
At the schools, you may have talked to a teacher or somebody there, but they collect a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
2,500 items the first time they came.
Wow.
And this was just short, close to Christmas.
Okay.
This is 4 years ago, I believe.
Okay.
I assume they put boxes out. Actually, we get some boxes that say food on them, so I guess they put boxes out and the food goes in the boxes.
They have competition.
Yeah, they. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows? Maybe one class with another. I don't know.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm sure that those are the kids who would love to see how it all works, too. So I think that Saturday thing might work.
Yeah.
And I am a member of one of your helping churches, and I have seen the collections that go through us that go to you, and it's just gratifying to see how that happens, because people care.
Extremely generous.
Yeah.
And people care.
Yeah. And now Carolyn does reports. I believe you do them monthly, isn't that right? You do a summary monthly, and the report just we had. I'm going to have to bang the table here, and I don't want to do that, but
it's okay.
But we had unfortunately I don't have December or November. Those are the big months, you know.
Right.
But you know, it in January we received less food than we gave out. However, it slowed down a little bit in February and March, so we're kind of stocking up now. So possibly, maybe we'll try and get once a month Saturday mm-hmm. going sometime in the next mm-hmm. couple of months. And I'm pretty sure we'll have some clients come then that are from a little different group, because they're people that wouldn't have been able to come on a Wednesday, you know.
Mm, got it. Okay. What I love stories, so this is the opportunity for both of you to tell me your favorite story of your experience at the pantry.
Do you want to go first?
You first.
Okay. Well, this just happened recently. Now, remember, I haven't been doing this as long as Carolyn. Uh-huh. I got involved in October of last year.
Okay.
But one day an older lady come in. This is definitely the grandmother. She might be a great grandmother, but she was dressed very nicely, all prim and proper, and we got the food together, and we have a grocery cart.
Okay.
That we use people can use it to take the stuff out to the car. So I said, bring your car right to the curb there in front of the church and I'll help you load it. So I took the car down and loaded it up, and she had to give me a hug. Mm-hmm. This cute, prim, proper little old Grammy, she had to give me a hug. So that's my story.
Okay.
Well, some of us are big on hugs, and I'm one of those people.
Okay.
and to tell the truth, except for that, the one story that I've already told you about one of our grocery people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That, to me, was so special. But there have been so many other really wonderful experiences with extra friendliness.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, one of the ladies coming in for food, she asked one of our interviewers, she said, well, how's your daughter doing? So it's that kind of interaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that I think makes a big difference in our food pantry from other food pantries where they hand them a bag.
And you're more or less a number.
They're
yeah.
friendly.
Yeah.
But they hand them a bag of food, and that's it.
Right.
I do have another one. A young couple came in, and the husband, he could really not speak hardly any English. It's just Arabic. And his wife could speak just a little bit of English, you know. And we took them through. We got them through the system, and we gave them a thing of food. And I remember they were very, very, very appreciative. You know, more so, you know, they were really surprised mm-hmm. that you know, they came in and were treated that way, you know. And we sorted all the food out so they didn't get anything that wouldn't fit in their diet.
Right, you know?
Yeah. And she's the one that told me that hummus is the word for chickpeas in Arabic.
Okay.
Not for the mm-hmm. dip.
Garlic.
Just for hummus is chickpeas in Arabic.
Okay. All right.
in case you needed to know that.
I did not know that, but I love it.
I think that might be the family whose needs went beyond what we could offer also.
Okay.
I mean, they needed the food. But they also really needed money to help pay bills.
Okay, so you were able to direct them a little bit anyway.
All we could do was give the 200 number.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
and show that there was something on that list that they could use.
Right.
At least as a start.
Right.
Yeah, and we might have mentioned access to them possibly. We may have mm-hmm. mentioned access. Mm-hmm. See, access,
yes.
In access, there are a number of Arabic-speaking people available
right.
so that a family like that might be more easily helped
sure.
down
sure.
at access. You know.
What, one of the continuing problems in this area, too, it goes back a number of years when all the mental institutions were basically shut down and all the people who needed the help were turned loose to the streets. If someone who appears to have some sort of an issue in that regard shows up at your door, are you able to direct them to get some sort of psychological help if they need it?
Actually, our church has a counseling center.
Mm-hmm.
They're just co-located at our church and use part of our facility for their offices. So if someone came in that you could talk to and so on that you could reason with, they could go back and make appointments to have counseling
okay.
done.
Okay.
And the counselors are set up if they're these are people educated in psych you know, they have psychology degrees in, and they've done counseling. And I believe that they could advise someone or help someone who needed further assistance. But that we don't have any interaction except that it's in the building and we could direct them over there.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Because I know anytime you try to do something in a simple way, it just isn't simple when humans are involved. And so the idea is to help somebody who just lost a job get some food to tide them over until there's a new job and a new paycheck. And then there are all these other complications that come in. And that's just a matter of dealing with humanity. So that's why I asked that question.
Yeah. One interesting little tie-in is that one of the young ladies that works as a secretary helping the psychologist also helps us in Helping Hand.
Okay.
So we have another little tie there.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And she's a lovely person. She helps us out from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have a comment, Carolyn?
I think she was thinking of that as you were asking the question.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Okay. This has been a wonderful discussion. Thank you both so much for being part of Impact.
Well, thank you very much for letting us come in and talk a little bit about Helping Hand.
And everybody who's listening, hopefully we're going to see you at the Holistic Fair. And you get to meet these fine folks in person, right? And
I'll be there.
Yes. We talked a little bit about you know, expanding to a Saturday. Is that the only change that you see for the program at this point? Well, because definitely there's been a great evolution from the 60s until now.
Yeah, the amounts of food given out have changed. They were smaller at the beginning and they've gradually grown. If we were able to, you know, if we don't want to keep any food, we just want to have enough that we can maintain the program. Mm-hmm. So if we ended up with more food than we were able to give away, we'd probably slightly increase the amounts that we donate to each of the members. That's only a guess, Carolyn.
And we have done that at times in the past when we were not getting the donations that allowed us to continue giving out that much food. We had to reduce the amount of food. But so it fluctuates. Actually, the monthly, them being able to come once a month now, that's new. Prior to that, it was once every other month.
Okay.
But because things have gotten so much better as far as us getting so much food and also the generosity in money donations, we're trying that again, coming once a month. And the funds seem to be holding out, which is a good sign for being open on Saturdays to get an increase.
Mm-hmm.
We average recently, over the last several months, about maybe 3 to 5 new people each week.
Wow.
But people don't come the same people don't come every month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We've had people that the last time they were there was in 2007.
Okay.
But they have a need, so they're back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the number, again, for the church to get hold of you or information?
313-563-4800.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We still have a few minutes in this edition of Impact. We told some stories. Give me your wish list.
Well, you know, kind of my wish list is if I am involved in a Saturday program, my wish list would be nice to have some young people come over, because I kind of get along with young people. I don't know what it is. I enjoy them, you know, and it's a busy activity. That's
right.
What's best for young people.
Right, hands-on.
Hands-on mm-hmm. stuff to do, you know what I'm saying? And that would be kind of my wish list as far as Helping Hands concerned.
Mm-hmm. There are also, through Michigan State University, I helped bag beans for soup about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And this was through Michigan State University at, I believe it might have been at your church. I'm not sure. But
I remember that project.
They have other programs that they sponsor and that they help people with. We have a really, really great kitchen. We've got more than one kitchen. We've got three, but this one is a large kitchen in a large room, which would be really conducive to one of their programs in helping people learn to cook better meals without eating fast food.
Right, right.
And in that program, they would be someone there to entertain the young children. I ended up going on oxygen, so that put a kibosh on me exploring into that right away. But there's those openings with the state of Michigan State University, and to see what kinds of programs they might help have that we can participate or actually start in our church as something else.
Right.
We want to expand Helping Hands so that we can help more people.
And we have to get past that mentality that what you buy at the gas station is really not appropriate for dinner. And the idea that you learn how to cook good food, and that's so much less expensive than the junk. And it just, that's a whole cultural thing that needs to be overhauled. I'm not sure how all that exists, but I was recently reading an article about Capuchin Kitchen and how they have these, they're called hoop houses. It's like a year-round greenhouse. So it's 20 degrees and snowing outside, and they're harvesting spinach.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you know, a phenomenal type of thing. So it's a matter of getting that mindset past the fast food, past the gas station food, past the junk, and getting into the good food, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of what we give away, it's got to be cooked, you know, much of it. I mean, for example, you give somebody spaghetti, they have to know how to put it in a pan with water and boil it, you know, after the water's boiled, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you planning, or at some point, is the pantry planning to work into some sort of a cooking class or a cooking program?
We just got a new minister about 6 months ago, and so I haven't even spoken to him about exploring that.
So you have surprises for the pastor, for the new pastor.
A lot. I think he wants us to start on the Saturdays first.
Okay.
So we'll take it one step at a time.
Okay.
Actually, I'm somewhat involved with Dearborn High School, and there's a young man over there that's doing a he's doing a cooking show on the public TV, one of the public TV channels. I was thinking he'd be the perfect man to get involved in something like that.
It's wonderful.
See? Okay, we also plant seeds here on Impact, so. Thank you so much, Ray and Carolyn, for coming in to talk to us about the Helping Hands Food Pantry, and I look forward to working with you at the Holistic Fair. And I look forward to all of the listeners bringing in so much food that it just is a job for us to get everything out to your vehicles. We're hoping that happens.
Oh, great.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Okay, and the phone number one more time, if somebody is interested in the Helping Hands Food Pantry, is?
313-563-4800.
Okay, thank you very much. And I want to thank you all for listening to Impact this afternoon, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
This is WHFR Dearborn. You are listening to the magic of radio.
It's important to plan ahead for emergencies, like the storm. When it kicked in, we had a plan.
Separated.
We were able to get in touch with each other in no time.
I had no idea how to find each other.
My husband kept the kids
tried
occupied.
Calling our son, but there was no reception. Everything was down.
I felt like breaking down. We handled everything very well.
I had to try and stay calm.
The whole experience was fine.
It was the most frightening 10 hours of my life.
It was kind of like a little family adventure.
Every mother hopes will never happen to her.
I remember the relief of being together.
I realized he was out there all alone.
If there's one piece of advice I'd offer other moms out there, it's to stay calm and keep to the plan.
Some parents plan ahead. Some don't. Make sure you know where to find your family in an emergency. Visit michigan.gov/beprepared, brought to you by Michigan State Police, FEMA, and the Ad Council.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
Okay, so Sarah, I'm dropping you off at Emily's?
Yep.
And Josh, you're going to?
Soccer, Dad. Soccer practice.
Right. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to let you know when I pick you both up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep. And my dorky dad hat, and I'm gonna do my dad dance for all your friends. They'll love it!
Seriously? Why?
Because I like my short shorts. Of course, I could be talked out of it if you guys would just buckle up your seatbelts without giving me a hard time.
It's important to get your kids to buckle up for safety, no matter what it takes. And sometimes, all it takes is your parental powers of persuasion.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Good choice. I'll just have to do my dad dance at dinner time.
What, what?
No!
Do what you have to make sure your kids are wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
If classical is your genre, WHFR is the place to be in the late night hours until 10 a.m. 7 days a week. From Beethoven and Mozart to Bach and Brahms, let it lull you to sleep at night and wake you up in the morning. Or for you night owls, enjoy the soothing sounds of classical music all night long. 89.3 FM or WHFR.FM on your computer. Make WHFR the station for classical.
Hey, there's a new talk show at 1 p.m. on the 5th Tuesday of the month. Foodies on the 5th introduces you to the food, facts, and faces of HFC's culinary program. Learn about HFC's culinary degree programs, the chefs, cooks, and teachers who make the program happen, and the great-tasting, healthy food available to the staff, students, and public. Tune in to Foodies on the 5th,